Can we be perfect? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Can we be perfect? Well, let's make a correction there right away. We are perfect. Now, do we choose to express it? Do we choose to outpicture it? Do we choose to live our perfection? Or do we want to make excuses for not being perfect? Do we want to make excuses for not being the magnificent beings that we are? And the answer apparently is yes. Now, why is it that we want to make excuses for not being perfect? Well, the reason is that we have old habits, and to change those old habits means that we have to let go of thoughts and ways and techniques of doing things that we're just familiar with, and we do it just secondhand. And we know better, but we don't change it because it doesn't feel like that. I will tell you, you know this already, but spell the word two, and you spell it T-O. That's the spelling of the word two. I am going to town. So, two, T-O. Now, how do you spell the word two? You spell the word two, and pretty soon, after you spell the word two a dozen times, you begin to doubt yourself. You begin to say, am I spelling the word two correctly? My goodness, something doesn't feel right here. I'm doing something wrong. You know, what am I doing to myself? What? How am I spelling two? And you're not worried about the T-W-O or the T-O-O. It's just a T-O. And so you begin to doubt yourself. These are what you do to yourself when you are doubting yourself. When you do things subliminally, unconsciously, generally speaking, you do them correctly. But somehow, sometimes you have a fault in the way you did it. It's the way that you've been trained to do it, and you thought that that was the way to do it. Now, the Greek wedding, you remember the Greek wedding? Mm-hmm. Well, the young man at the Greek wedding, the brothers of the bride were attempting to give him a hard time. They loved him, you know, but they wanted to give him a hard time. So they told him to say things in Greek that were not very nice. They were naughty. They're not bad, but they were just naughty. And so they said, now, you say this phrase to everybody, and they'll think, wow, you really are into it. And so he said the phrase, and he was a little doubtful because they were having too much fun. And but he said it, and everybody looked at him and said, and then the father reaches over and clubs the young boy on the ear and says, what are you doing? That's silly. And of course, the young boy was 22 or 3, whatever. But you see, we're given in false information sometimes and false attitudes my dad came back from the First World War in Germany, and he had a few German phrases which were naughty phrases. And he told us kids those phrases. I don't think they realized how naughty they were. Right. Because for him, in English, they were not naughty. They were just sort of, yuck, you know. So when I went over to Germany and I spoke one or two of those phrases, everybody thought I was just... unredeemable. You know? And there's no sense in saying what they were. But the thing is, I soon learned that I had to find some different phrases.
For instance, Arschloch. Oh,
yeah, but the thing is, these are things that happen, and as Ingeborg wanted to bring out a few of these words here because she understands German so well, and of course everybody says, but you're putting this on tape here, you know, shame on you. Now, so be it. Now, we don't want those things in our vocabulary. We don't want those things in our memory. We don't want those things said, you know, because if they're said, people say, my goodness, you have no taste at all. You have no quality about you at all. And this is what we want to be very careful about. It's so easy to say things that show us to be imperfect when we really are perfect. And how do we be perfect? We have a student who is in prison, and he wrote about the fact that he's in prison, and he wrote a thesis. And at the end of his thesis, he brings up the condition of his sister who ran into some trouble. And then he spelled it all out and told how terrible it was for her and how mean and bad it was and what have you. And I said to Ellen, I said, now when you work on this thesis, you tell him, instead of saying how bad it was, say that you told her, if you did, to keep a positive attitude and stay away from those circumstances. It's done now. Whatever experience is done, it's happened and it took place, and you experience it now. Don't experience it anymore. Unless, if you're going to think about it, you're going to experience it some more. You're going to bring some more of that nonsense into your world. And showing that he has learned from this course that to the pure, all is pure. So whatever positive thoughts you're going to have in your consciousness, that's what you're going to have. Whatever negative thoughts you're going to have, that's what you're going to have now. If we are ideal, if we are wonderful, if we are perfect, then we must act ideal, wonderful, and perfect at all times. We must think ideal things. We must think perfect things. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. And I am my ideal. I am ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'm ideal spirit, mind, and body. All is in divine order. All is, you see, whenever you say all is not in divine order, you're putting a cause in motion for a very unhappy situation, one that you really don't want to experience. But yet, you are saying, all is not in divine order. Look at here. Don't look at there. Look at how it would be if it's all in divine order. And the more you concentrate on how it is when it's all in divine order, the sooner everything is in divine order for you, because then you stop looking at things not being in divine order. And then things not being in divine order stop happening in your world. They stop having any place to land or any place to grow as a seed being planted in your consciousness. And this is why it's so important for us to always be positive. That's why in all of our coursework, Ellen, first person present tense positive, first person present tense positive, if we were to do that seriously, really seriously, which we do with our students, we would probably erase most of what they write. Not really. We would redirect their thinking to the first person present tense positive. And every time they send something in, we'd redirect their thinking to the first person present tense positive. First person present tense positive. Pretty soon, they would get so tired of sending things in that were not first person present tense positive. They'd send in things that are first person present tense positive, and we would say, "Wow, they got it, they got it." Well, it took a little effort on our part to train them, which is what we are here for doing. We're a school, and we're here to train people to always be first person, present tense, positive. So, how can you be perfect like you are? Well, be perfect, first person, present tense, positive. That's what being perfect is. Being first person, present tense, positive in everything you think and do and say and are. And what wonder comes into your life? Wow, wow, wow. Yes. And Ellen, it's a pain in the neck to do this, but you're the one that's getting the blessing.
Of course.
Sylvia, it's a pain in the neck to do this with the students you're proctoring, but it's your blessing. And Ingeborg, it's a pain in the neck to you in everything that you do, in the proctoring and whatever it is you do too, but it's worth it. Yes. It's worth it, because pretty soon we forget those words in German that are not so nice.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But you see, that's why. First person, present tense, positive. Yeah. And don't help me if I don't remember them. Because it's just as well that they're not in my vocabulary. And I didn't say any more, but they're not in my vocabulary. And we don't ever need anything in our vocabulary that's not first person, present tense, positive. So, my beloveds, have a super, 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 super lifetime eternity, because I love you eternally.